Jamie Cuellar, portfolio manager for the Buffalo Small Cap Fund, is here, and it's time to talk small cap stocks now on the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job. And today's experienced money manager runs the Buffalo Small Cap Fund, which is ticker symbol BUFSX. His name is Jamie Cuellar, and if you want to learn more about him and the firm, it's buffalofunds.com. As long as you're doing that, follow them on Twitter, where they're at Buffalo Funds. Jamie Cuellar, thank you for joining me on Money Life.
Thanks for having me on the show, Chuck.
Now, we always start with methodology, because as much as folks may like buy, sell, hold recommendations, all of that's meaningful unless they find out how somebody does their job. And small caps, well, that's a part of the market, but how you parse it out, that's what's important. So explain your methodology to us.
Sure. Well, we have a small cap growth fund that we manage here. It's been over 20 years old since the fund's been around. We manage it with three portfolio managers that have been here for the last 5.5 years or so. We like to buy market cap companies that are about $500 million on the low end and up to about $4 billion on the high end. And we'll usually let our winners run. So if they get to about $10 to $12 billion, which we kind of consider mid-cap, we'll let them go and try and find a smaller name to take their place. We are also lower turnover than a lot of our peers. So we generally look to hold things about 3 to 5 years when we buy them. And, you know, our process is, I think, is pretty unique. We combine really a top-down approach where we've identified 26 long-term secular growth trends that we think are going to give a tailwind to the stocks that we invest in. We do this alongside a bottoms-up analysis of companies that we think are going to benefit from those trends. So we look for what we call premier companies. These are companies with high revenue growth, experienced management teams, you know, solid margins that are hopefully increasing. We like to find good balance sheets, good business models, and we like companies that have a sustainable advantage relative to their peers. We're also valuation sensitive as well, unlike, I think, a lot of our growth peers. So when we look to buy something, we'll come up with a bull price and a bear price, and we look for, you know, twice the upside relative to 1x the downside. We sell them when they get to our price target or when they get too big, like I mentioned, or if we see the fundamentals changing or the investment thesis not quite playing out, we'll let them go as well.
So what you're saying here is you've got a lot of bottoms up. You're going to look at that specific company mixed in with some top down. What's the big picture, right? So if that's the case, here we are in pandemic mode, living through economic times that are basically unlike anything most of us have seen in our lifetime, certainly unlike anything that you have seen as one of the members of the portfolio management team here for the last 5 years since you took over. So with that different top-down picture, how is that affecting things? I mean, you just gave the reasons why you sell things. None of them really have much to do with the big overarching picture. So how much have you changed the portfolio in all of this?
We changed a little bit coming into it. Certainly, we were more concerned about the consumer area when we came into the pandemic. So we lightened up on a few things in consumer. And now as we're kind of coming back out a little bit, we're actually returning to some of those that we had let go. But ultimately, you know, if you think about our process, these long-term trends, a lot of them didn't change during the pandemic. And if anything, some of them, like e-commerce or increasing demand for communications bandwidth, those actually increased during the pandemic. So, you know, we have a few trends that we were probably adding a little bit more to those just because they fit a little bit more with what happened during the pandemic.
So you've got some trends that are continuing, some where you're worried that maybe they're getting too pricey. Can you walk us through that? What's an example of, hey, we love the methodology and it's been in the sweet spot, still in the sweet spot, for example?
Certainly, we still like technology. You know, it's an area that's traditionally overweight for us as well. You know, if you think about digital transformation of companies where they're using a lot of technology to drive revenues and reduce costs, that's actually an area that I think increased during the pandemic as well. People are actually accelerating their digital transformation. So there are some stocks within technology that have gotten pretty expensive, and I kind of call out high-growth software as an area that we think has gotten really pricey. But we're still able to find names that are reasonably valued within that we continue to like a lot.
Such as?
Plural Side is, I think, a very good name that kind of fits that mold. This is a company we've actually owned for a couple of years. It's a SaaS software company that provides online upskilling for tech workers. So this is really specific third-party content that is offered. It's things like, you know, coding for containers or advanced Python. It's not general stuff like leadership that you'll get from some of their competitors. They're taking share overall from in-classroom training, which is a pretty big market of about $40 billion. As you can imagine, you know, in-classroom learning is not, you know, easily accomplished with social distancing and less travel that we're seeing overall. So we think this is very timely. Like I mentioned, digital transformation is accelerated, and a lot of companies need a lot of workers with better tech skills. They stumbled a little bit in the middle of last year with some sales execution issues, but they've changed some sales leadership, and I think they're getting the go-to-market turned around pretty nicely here. So the stock kind of recovered from getting hammered during the pandemic, but it's still, you know, at a price around $20, well below the, you know, mid-30s where it traded before it had those sales execution issues. And it's, you know, the valuation is very attractive. It's only about, you know, a little over 5x next year's sales for a 20% to 30% grower, which is about half the peer group multiple.
So Pluralsight, that's ticker symbol PS. And as you were talking about how the trends are working, obviously you kind of hinted at healthcare. So maybe that's the next example we should talk about.
Sure. Well, one of the areas in healthcare that we really like a lot is the healthcare diagnostic space. So, and even more specifically, that, you know, genomic diagnostics. If you think about it, we first sequenced the human genome about 20 years ago for, you know, close to $1 billion. You can now, that same sequence, you can get done for under $1,000. So with this DNA sequencing, you've got tests now that are a lot more invasive. So instead of having to do a tissue biopsy, you can actually just take a few tubes of blood of someone and come up with, you know, tests that are going to be a lot more accurate than they were before. And actually test for a lot more things. So we can test for things like, you know, whether a transplant, organ transplant is being rejected, or if someone has a, you know, cancer or solid tumor, if they're, you know, relapsing or at risk of relapsing. And, you know, doctors are using a lot to make sure that they've got the right therapy for patients and tell if actually that therapy is indeed working or needs to be switched. And the bottom line, too, and most importantly, is that we've got a great reimbursement setting for these tests, and you know, the guys who are doing the tests can actually make good money doing them.
And so, specifics in that sector, names that you like there?
Sure. CareDx is definitely one of them. These guys are the leader in transplant surveillance products. So, like I mentioned, you know, kidney and heart are really their core areas, but they're getting into a few things like lung transplants. And again, it's just using liquid biopsy instead of doing a tissue biopsy, which is a lot riskier, to find out who's either experiencing or at risk of experiencing organ rejection. This kidney market's only about 5% penetrated, still really dominated by tissue, though there's a very long runway for growth here. They've been expanding into a lot of products and services to really kind of get them more integrated with the transplant docs that are out there, so trying to do things like integrate with the electronic medical records, you know, or help the doctors make better decisions. This is really to kind of separate them from the competition that they do see coming around the corner. They actually kind of pivoted pretty well during COVID. They launched a product called RemoTrack, which uses mobile phlebotomists. So these are guys that go out to your house, will take a few tubes of blood from you, so they don't the patients don't have to go into the office anymore to see to get their liquid biopsy taken. And we think it's something that's going to actually kind of continue and help kind of move that market away from the tissue biopsy more towards that liquid biopsy that they offer. And it's going to be just a lot more convenient for patients.
And quickly, you know, you talked about the areas that you liked. You talked about what makes you sell. What areas, given the top-down analysis, are you maybe not completely avoiding, but you're finding less that you want to be into?
Yeah, you know, energy is an area that we typically have never been super excited about. We would invest in a few service names every once in a while, but E&P names we were really never excited about just because of the cash flow dynamics. They never seem to be able to consistently generate free cash flow. Not only that, you've got renewables that are gaining share. You know, the ESG funds are actually becoming a bigger and bigger part of the market, and they don't want to have anything to do with hydrocarbons. So you know, I think the setup for energy is just not really exciting for us, and we have, you know, no exposure right now and, you know, minimal at other times.
Well, now we're going to find out how you feel about some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's hold it or fold it time with my guest, Jamie Cuellar, portfolio manager for the Buffalo Small Cap Fund. Ticker symbol BUFSX. And if you want more information, go to buffalofunds.com. You can follow them on Twitter at Buffalo Funds. Hold it or fold it's where we put our guests to your test. And if you want to test our guests, you need to send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to Chuck at moneylifeshow.com. We'll add it to our list and hope it makes it into an interview soon. I'm going to start today with a request we got from Rick in York, Pennsylvania. He wants to know about 2-6 Incorporated. It's II-VI, but in Roman numerals, it's 2-6, and the ticker symbol is the Roman numerals IIVI.
Yeah, 2-6, I think, is a hold. It's a company that specializes in components for communications and semi-markets. You know, if you had new money to put to work, I'd rather see you buy something kind of Lumentum, which has the same drivers and it's a little bit better position and a better balance sheet. But if you do own it, I would hang on to it. I think communication spending is pretty healthy. They're going to have a better year in 2021 in 3D sensing for handsets, which is a great market. They're integrating their acquisition of Finisar pretty well, so I would just hold it.
So hold it if you've got it, but you're not buying more right now on 2-6 IIVI.
I don't want people dumping their shares.
Next, for Tom in East Greenwich, Rhode Island, it's Ligand Pharmaceuticals, LGND.
Yeah, Ligand is a buy. This is actually one of my favorite stocks right here as well. I could probably give you 15 reasons why you buy it, but I'm going to keep it real simple. They have a drug discovery platform called OmniAb. They've owned it for a couple years, and we're right on the cusp of having their customers present a lot of pivotal data over the next year. And if they start to get some drugs approved, it's going to generate some nice milestone revenue as well as royalty revenues. And their drug delivery platform called Captisol is experiencing huge demand right here. They are in the formulation for remdesivir, which is Gilead's drug for COVID-19, and they're increasing their production capacity eightfold. So I can get to a lot higher number or earnings number in this one in over the next couple of years, and I think this one's going higher.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That's a buy on LGND, Ligand Pharmaceuticals. Mike in Redwood City, California wants to know about Calix Incorporated, C-A-L-X.
Yeah, Calix, I think, is a buy, too. This is the one, like I mentioned, kind of we like the communications market in here. Work from home has caused a need for increased upstream capacity. So they're also transforming themselves beyond just being kind of a broadband hardware provider into more of a kind of systems platform that's going to be selling some software alongside that. So gross margins from here are going to go a lot higher. They've already started increasing, and their customers are very healthy. There's two and tier three communications providers that are spending on work from home, and they're going to have a better funding environment from the SEC next year and a program called RDOF that is going to increase in spending for several years. So I like Calix a lot.
Don't worry if the price starts going up. Just keep buying.
That's a buy on C-A-L-X, Calix Incorporated. Our last two requests come from Peter in Buffalo. First, it's Lovesac Company, ticker Love.
Yeah, Lovesac is a buy as well. This is one that really got clocked during the COVID-19 sell-off, but the company pivoted extremely well when they were forced to close a lot of their stores and move their business to e-commerce. They've done that extremely well. It's a very well company that's run very well, despite being a microcap, founder-led name. They're very innovative with product innovation, new product. They've got a lot more innovation coming. They make some great seating products. And as you know, consumers are spending a lot more time buying home furniture these days as nesting has increased in COVID. So Lovesac is a buy.
I just fell in love.
Well, just fell in Lovesac, ticker symbol Love, L-O-V-E. That was a buy. And last, again for Peter in Buffalo, in the limited time we have left, it's Quidel Corporation, QDEL.
Quidel is a buy as well. So they're a leader in point-of-care antigen testing, which obviously, they've got a great presence in flu, and they've leveraged it well into COVID-19 testing. So as you can imagine, this is one that's had a huge run this year, but recently has sold off hard as Abbott, a competitor, has gotten approval for a competitive test, and they priced it pretty aggressively. But the bottom line is demand greatly exceeds supply for testing, and it's going to for a while. And pricing is actually going to be a lot more rational than people think here. The new product pipeline from Quidel is very strong. They've got not only new testing platforms, but broader panels coming up. I would take advantage of the weakness here and buy more.
Buy, buy, buy! Is that all you can think about?
It's a buy on Quidel, QDEL. And we finish on a high note with several buys. And now we have one more goodbye to talk about. It's the one where we say goodbye to Jamie Cuellar. But Jamie, this was a great maiden voyage. I hope you'll come back and do this with us again sometime.
Love to. Thank you, Chuck.
That's Jamie Cuellar, everybody. Portfolio manager at Buffalo Small Cap. BUFSX, the ticker symbol. BuffaloFunds.com, the website, at BuffaloFunds on Twitter. We'll be back to wrap up today's show and let you know what's coming for the rest of the week before we cross the finish line together right after this message.